Blog Talk Radio.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the Philosophy Show today, this Wednesday night, Thursday morning. And my name's Thomas. It is technically Thursday, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, January 28th, 2016. And today is episode number 123. And the title of the show is Revolution, spelt in the Re-Lovolution way. Subtitle is Nowhere to Run, Two Wrongs, Rights Forward, One Wrong, Right, Two Steps Forward, One Step Back, and Two Wrongs Don't Make a Right, combined all into one there. This is a call-in show. It's a half an hour at the same time every week, Wednesday night, Thursday morning. If you want to call in, the phone number is area code 646-929-1344. And so, if you want to call in with a show idea or with any news, advice, anything you'd like to share, be interested in hearing it. So today, we can, there's a couple of different things. I was going to go into a Clinton denier, kind of like instead of a climate denier, a Clinton denier, Obamacare, raising or lowering the standard for everyone, whether we have a moral choice or not. What are the rules? Why individuals matter? Karma, or the golden rule. The arguments you will not hear from a Republican. And so those are the topics today. So get ready. Here we go, coming at you faster than the speed of light. So, you know, one more week from now is going to be the presidential primary season kicks off. And here in the U.S., we have 50 states that make up the union. And the state that gets the vote in the primaries first is going to be Iowa and also New Hampshire. And so on the Democrat side, you basically, I mean, there are some lesser candidates that, but you basically have Bernie Sanders versus Hillary Clinton. And on the Republican side, you have like Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and a bunch of people. And Donald Trump is the supposedly the front runner. And so, you know, Bernie Sanders the other day said we need a political revolution. And that's a lot kind of like what Ron Paul was saying four and 8 years ago. And he spelt like a lot of his campaign did. I know this started in a grassroots way, so he didn't technically start the terminology, but revolution, you know, when you spell it, I mean, there's been a lot of puns made like this, you know, revolution, evolution, lovolution. You know, if you take the R and then you take the E, V-O-L, and you turn that E-V-O-L backwards, it spells love, and then it kind of looks like a revolution and love kind of sign. And it seems like to me, and this is why I titled today's episode this way, it seems like our society kind of takes two steps forward, one step back, sometimes two steps back, one step forward. And a lot of times we are doing stuff where two wrongs, you know, seem to equal the rights. It seems like that's what we're trying to juggle out. And what is the end goal? And what can we really imagine? What are we wasting our time on or investing our time in? And is it just for ourselves or is it for the future? I mean, if we were on the Titanic and we were one of the few people in the lifeboat and they said, you know, half the people in this lifeboat's got to leave or else everyone's going to sink, you know, what's going to be your decision and your thinking? And is that even a fair framework which to even think? Or maybe it's worth contemplating, even if it's not the situation. So, and maybe you're looking at the big picture, but maybe you think you're looking at the big picture, but there's even a bigger, bigger picture than that. And so, one step in the bigger picture is forward, and in the grander picture of that is backwards, and then and it keeps going every other one. How much bigger the picture is, it's either a step back or a step forward or something maybe. But you know, it's kind of like two wrongs don't make a right. It's kind of like people, I mean, there's so many aspects. Let's just take the immigration aspect, the immigrants coming from the Middle East, which we think there's a trove, but there might be more so in Europe. Example, Middle Eastern immigrants flooding, let's say, Europe. And then let's say when they get there, some of them cause crime, but let's say also some of the native people in Europe, you know, backlash onto the immigrants. And let's say the only reason that they're immigrating into Europe, because they weren't doing it in a flood before, is because their native lands, the Middle Easterners, are being bombarded and bombed. And so they have nowhere to live. They have to run. And there is nowhere to run because where they run, it's already occupied, you know, by Western civilization and democracy. And, you know, what's going to be the right here? I mean, Europe itself, after just about 70 years ago, was rebuilt partially by a Marshall Plan that the United States invested a lot in after having the Third Reich destroy. And also both sides, but, you know, you could say the Third Reich started it. But then if you go far back enough, you could say the end of World War One started it. It's kind of like the Arab-Israeli conflict. Who really started it? If you go far back enough, you know, maybe you find out we didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world was turning. But so who's going to end the fire? And then we expect individuals, because we want to be treated like individuals, so we don't want others to treat us as part of a group, yet we treat others as part of a group. And, you know, is life fair? Does life bend towards the arc of justice? I mean, how can you expect anyone to treat you as an individual and give you the respect of individual rights when you don't do that to others? So maybe the whole point of this is if there's some kind of globalist conspiracy is what they want you to do is break your own principles so you damn yourself. Because if you damn others by treating them as a group and taking away their individual rights, giving them due justice as an individual, then you're also forbidding that for yourself. You're actually, however you judge others, is the same type of principles that you're judging yourself. Now, maybe you say, oh, that's not true. That's an individual situation. I'm an individual situation. But it seems like, I don't know, maybe there is something to karma and, you know, even in this own lifetime, maybe the golden rule isn't just a suggestion, but it's also a rule, like a universal rule, not just because it's something you should do, but it's just something that you should know if you want the best for everyone. So it's kind of like, should we raise the standards for everyone or should we lower the standards for everyone? You know, like I hear Republicans saying, hey, we shouldn't raise taxes on the rich. We should lower them for everyone else, and that way everyone gets a bigger tax break. You know, because what you allow for others is what you're going to allow for yourself. And, I mean, that's their argument. I mean, they already have lower taxes than the rest of us, pretty much. It's kind of like, you know, these, you might have heard these people that are holding, you know, a building in Oregon, they took it over, like, you know, they're like a militia group that had a grievance against how some of their people were handled through the justice system, cruel and unusual punishment for starting a fire that didn't hurt anything. You know, they had like years in jail. And, you know, so they took over a small government building that wasn't being occupied, that was vacant. It's out there like in the woods. It's kind of like a shack or something. And now people are complaining like, you know, well, if those were black people, they probably would have been shot. And that might be so. But now should we argue, should these ranchers and militia people be shot? Is that the standard we should go so that everyone should be shot? Or should the standard be that no one should be shot, and if you're a black person and did the same thing, you should be afforded the same reasonable justice? Because what is reasonable? I mean, number one, if that building that they took over out in the middle of the woods is not occupied by anyone, and if they're not destroying the material that's publicly paid for by taxpayer dollars, and if you could surround the place and just wait it out, I mean, would waiting something out for 2 weeks or even 2 months be worth the elimination of any violence? I think so. In fact, I think all these knock-in raids and all these SWAT team raids that have to do with, like, silly things, like, you know, unless if it's someone being kidnapped or, you know, someone being tortured in there or something very, very serious like that, or a hostage situation, or someone that's a threat to immediate threat to others, you know, why do they bust in people's houses at like 3 a.m? That's the most inefficient way, you know, and it's the most unjust way. It's, we're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. Why don't they just call the person first and say, hey, can you meet us here? Try that first. Like, first maybe surround the neighborhood a little bit, then give them a call, okay? And then if they don't answer, or if they, you know, give them a couple tries, if they refuse to, or if they're violent, I mean, what if they do meet you? Then you could have avoided the whole thing, possibly killing family members or going into the wrong house, you know, or, you know, getting one of your own officers killed or anyone else killed. You could have just met them. Why don't you meet them on their way to the grocery store, or wait till they walk out of the house, or just give them a call? And now, if that works, then you save a lot of time. Let's just say that doesn't work. Then you go to step two, which would be to try to negotiate something. Then step three, to say, we have you surrounded. We're going to wait you out. And maybe that person or persons will cool down after a couple days, and they'll just come out peaceably without any violence, and you don't have to go in there and ransack the place. And then everything, I mean, what's the problem with waiting a few more days? It's kind of like if you're going down the highway and you skip an exit and you decide to destroy your own car because you're so immature about it, when you can just always turn around and take the next exit. I mean, what's wrong with waiting an extra week or couple weeks or even a couple months? If it's not hurting anyone, it probably is cheaper and no one gets hurt. And eventually the other team's just going to get tired of it, and you know, then you can have a just court date. That's the way all the problems should be handled. That's if, you know, people are using their noggins. And so should we lower the standards all across the board, or should we raise the standards for everyone? So I don't think police should go in and kill black people, white people, anyone. And I think the right would be better to do that. I wish the right would invite more black people to have those concealed carry protests and, you know, showing of your rights. So it does seem more equal, because keep in mind, the reason why gun regulation started in the first place was in California from a Republican called Ronald Reagan. It was when the Black Panthers were showing their guns in public, their rights to defend themselves when they were marching. They never shot anyone, I don't think, but they were marching with guns. And then California wanted to pass gun regulation. And because it was black people doing it, Ronald Reagan, he's the one who passed the gun regulation. So people like Alex Jones and all them, you really are for gun rights. You got to be for it for black people as much as white people. You got to be for it for everyone. And you got to show that you are and verbally, you know, be consistent, just like you would want someone to be consistent with you. So everyone's an individual, no matter what group they could be categorized in. And and the same thing, I mean, it is true that there is a double-edged justice system, but are you fighting for others to be discriminated like you are, or are you fighting for yourself not to be discriminated like others? And that's the way to win. Acknowledge that, you know, the more that the minority groups acknowledge that no one should be treated that way, but you're still fighting for your rights, you're going to get more support from the majority groups. And I hope that everyone's treated justly and fairly by the justice system, and we can all fight together for justice. And so, I mean, if you don't agree in those principles of how you treat others is how you're going to be treated yourself, or that even if there is any karma, that there should be karma, then you really don't believe in any rules at all or any morality, I would say. And then it's just might makes rights. And then why even engage in a philosophical debate in the first place? You know, then you're then the only motivation you have is to dumb others down, I would say, if you believe might makes right. Because your only motivation then is just to survive. And the only reason you would talk to others is to manipulate them so you could be the last one standing. But if you really believe in principles, how far are you going to take them? And you know, you have to understand them, and sure, there can be different levels of principles. But those are the arguments Republicans won't make. They'll argue for gun rights for the wrong reasons most of the time. They'll argue for gun rights, which is what draws some people in, but they do it for the wrong reasons. And a lot of things that the Republicans and Democrats don't get is they're voting for the other team that's not in power because they want a balance of power. It doesn't mean that they like you. And that's the thing. A lot of them, times they think they're voting for me because they like me. Well, no, maybe they just don't like the other person worse and they don't have any choice. I mean, that's how arrogant they are. They don't like either of you. It's that they hate the other person worse. They don't like, that does not mean that they like you. It seems like you can apply politics to relationships almost. You know, it's like if you're going out with someone and you lived on an island and they only had two people to choose from, and one was you and one was the other person, the other person was, you know, a cruel, hideous being, and you got them, I mean, are you going to feel like, you know, you set a new bar in standards, or is it just that they had no other choice? You know, it's kind of like people are saying, oh, well, Obama stole you know, if Romney was president, you know, we would have had Romney care instead. Don't forget, he's the one who passed in Massachusetts. The Obamacare plan is what the Republicans have been pushing for years. What the Republicans won't argue is whenever they try to get rid of Obamacare, they never argued it on the most principled matter of all, is the individual mandates. I mean, they always complain like, oh, this is going to ruin free markets. But the Republicans have never been for a free market in the first place. They're the ones who pushed this Romney care. They're the ones who didn't care about the individual mandate that forced you to buy their special interests products, the health insurance companies. You know, they just didn't like, you know, that their own corporations had to participate. So there are lots of exceptions. Like, I think McDonald's doesn't have to buy healthcare for its employees, while other ones do. So you create even a more unfair marketplace. The Republicans won't argue is, you know, why is there more gun deaths in the United States than other countries like Europe and Australia and England and Canada and New Zealand and a lot of the rest of the world? Is it because we have a more of a multicultural society? Is it because we have a prison industrial complex? Is it because we have the highest prison population and we have more strict drug laws? Is it because, now some of them will make some of those arguments, or is it really because we're one of the few, is it because we have stricter gun laws, or I mean not as strict gun laws? That's one of the differences, but that's not the argument. The arguments you won't hear from Republican is most of those other countries have a living wage. They don't just have a minimum wage. Their minimum wage is like $15 an hour. If you look at Australia's minimum wage, it's about $15 an hour. And they have health care for all. And they have college tuition for all. So that makes a huge difference. In fact, they passed all those reforms about the same time that they passed their 1990s historic gun legislation. So I believe in the right to bear arms, totally. And I hate these gun grabbers. But I also hate that the Republicans, you know, don't make the right arguments because they don't want to argue, because they don't want education for all. They don't want universal health care, and they don't want a higher minimum wage. Now, if we had a true free market, I don't think we would need a minimum wage. I would think it'd be a good idea to have a public option for healthcare. And I think education for all, we should have some public options, but I don't, you know, think it should be mandatory or anything that you should be indoctrinated. Or I think education is a lifelong learning thing. And I think if people were more prosperous, you'd be able to afford it better if you had a true free market. I don't think we're going to be anywhere near that. You're going to need a political revolution. So basically what I believe in is we do have a true free market where you can create any business without a bunch of red tape. Now, if you're creating something that could potentially harm your whole neighborhood or harm more than you would ever be able to repay back, like spilling oil in the Gulf, or destroying a whole town with radiation, then you do have to get insurance and regulations. And I do think we can have a government that prints its own money, that's a public money option system that gives a guaranteed annual income, that pays for a military and a justice system, and provides public options, like the post office, like for healthcare. And if you had a guaranteed annual income, you wouldn't need Social Security anymore or to have a minimum wage, but have it be completely competitive with a private system, that in a public system would be a standard. You wouldn't have to worry about tons of other programs because no one would be poor. You'd at least have these minimums, and it'd be completely transparent and accountable. And that's where we should be going towards. But you might think that's pie in the sky, like Hillary Clinton says. But what's pie in the sky is to trust these politicians to guide us into the future while they're getting paid millions of dollars by special interests, and to think that, you know, they're going to represent you in any positive way. And what's pie in the sky is to think that someone is going to be of any benefit to you. You know, Hillary Clinton in the last 2 years has made millions of dollars from speeches. You know, a lot of these people that support Clinton, you know, kind of like climate deniers, they're Clinton deniers. She voted for the Iraq war, and that has cost us trillions of dollars, lots of lives. It's got us stuck in a quagmire, and Iraq wasn't even responsible for 9/11. In fact, they were a stabilizing force in the Middle East, and we destroyed it. And then now we also have created more destabilization in Libya, in Syria, in Yemen. Should have just stayed focused in Afghanistan and gotten out when we were done. And if we were going to stay in, we should have created and rebuilt that whole place. With education, we could have spent about a tenth of the money rebuilding it instead of destroying it and creating this instability. That's the only reason there's an ISIS in the first place. She voted for the Iraq war. Now she says she's against it. You know, she was for the bank bailouts. The second thing that has put us in so much debt besides wars, which has put us in enormous debt, is the bailouts. We've bailed out company after company for trillions of dollars, and she voted for that. She was supportive of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, this trade deal that's trying to go through that's worse than NAFTA, and it basically makes the corporations in charge and rips us off in these trade deals that Trump and Bernie Sanders are talking about, and she supported that. She supported the Patriot Act to take away our privacies and civil rights. So she's been wrong on every issue that's been of great importance historically. She wanted to deregulate the banks. And now, you know, and people are overlooking those big issues. Yeah, there's some smaller issues that don't impact. What I mean by that is they don't impact as many people. But then there's these big issues that impact pretty virtually everyone, the entire country, and our sovereignty. I mean, you know, debt kind of creeps up on you. It's a slow kill. I mean, are we going to face it or is it no big deal? I mean, we're either going to have to file bankruptcy or we're going to have to pay it off, and we're nowhere near paying it off. I mean, eventually, what if 50% of your entire budget that you made each year had to go to pay interest on your debts? Is that going to choke you out and prevent you from spending on other things? And what if every single month of every single year that keeps getting worse and worse and worse? We're going to have to file bankruptcy and, you know, have an accountable public banking system. So there's nowhere to run except right at the problem. And we have about 60 seconds remaining. And thank you for listening to The Philosophy Show. Yeah, we need a revolution, and I highlight that word love in there. So best wishes, everyone. Take care. Thank you for listening to The Philosophy Show. Please call in if you have a show idea. I'd love to talk about it. And we'll talk back at you next week. Take care, everyone. I'm going to go to the next one.